Father, we give you praise and glory for this beautiful, incredible day. Lord, how wonderful, it's just so beautiful, the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it for sure. Lord, tonight we just lift up again Jessica and those brand new lungs in her body, thanking you for no infection and absolutely no rejection and how well she is doing, Lord. She's just thriving and doing so much better. And Lord, for Harley, that continued healing in his body, just blessing him and Georgine, Lord, lifting him up and just removing this from him completely, Lord. We also pray that, Father, that this church rises up to bring those from the north, south, east, and west to the Harvest Crusade June the 10th, and that they're planning now. We're not procrastinating, Lord, but we are planning this day. So, Lord, we ask you to bless tonight as we continue this short series, Lord, on marriage. Help me to teach your word faithfully, accurately, Lord. We lean totally upon you, the one who loves us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians tonight. We're going to be in chapter 5. I have just one more after this Wednesday. I'll do one more, and then we'll probably call it quits. And not the marriage, but the series, okay? Matter of fact, after the way I'm teaching, you might want to call it quits. I don't know. But no, I'm teasing, of course. Tonight, I want to talk to you about marriage 101. Say that with me. Marriage 101. In other words, your first baby step on what you need to be doing. But why don't we look at our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, and let's just read just a few verses, but let's begin in verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Boy, is that a good word. We live in evil days. We don't want to ever be foolish. We need to buy up, redeem the time means to buy up every opportunity that God gives unto us. And we need to know the will of God. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the Lord, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Today, you know, the marriages today, I mean, you know, we have more today than our grandparents had. Amen. I mean, think about it. There are so many marriage seminars, marriage classes and retreats. You can just go on Google, you know, and my gosh, just pull up thousands of marriage websites, you know. And people today, they get together online. I don't understand that. I'm not being critical of it. It's just not who I am. But Pew Research, February 29th, 2016, listen to what they said. 55% of Americans who are in a marriage or a committed relationship say that they met their significant other online. Isn't that amazing? 55% today. That's phenomenal to me. I'd rather talk to a person in person. They may be putting a phony picture up there. You know what I mean? Oh, never mind. We have all kinds of, you can go to any Christian bookstore, you can go online. There's millions of Christian books out there about marriage. And people in the church today spend literally millions of dollars on those books to discover how to have a happy marriage or how to raise their children or all of those things. When a Christian has in their possession, in their home and in their hands, the greatest marriage book in all of creation. Amen? The holy word of God that'll never deceive you, never lead you astray. And the reason is because we know the God of the Bible, our God, our Father. He created marriage. He created male. He created female. We don't know why he created woe man. Do you understand? Come on, guys. Don't give me a hard time tonight. I'm in a good mood tonight. Last Wednesday night, I was not in a good mood, okay? I'm in a happy mood tonight. It's just been a beautiful day. But if men, women, listen now, husbands, wives, unmarrieds and marrieds, maybe you're going to be married soon, maybe you're not, You're one day, when you do, you're going to need to know this. And you know, if you go to the Word of God, at least there in God's Word, you'll understand creation, how you're created, like we discussed last Sunday or Wednesday. But you'll also understand the role of the wife, the role of the husband. And men, you'll also understand how your wife, her emotions are. The Bible tells us all about that. You know, only God knows today in the society in America that we live in, whether it be in the church or out of the church, okay? But I'm speaking to only Christians tonight. The fact is only God knows how many wives and husbands live for year after year after year under the same roof. They sleep in the same bed. They share the same address, and yet they are emotionally divorced in their hearts. You know, divorce doesn't take place when you go to the judge. You all know that, don't you? A piece of paper doesn't divorce you. That's just a legal law of the land. But, you know, you can divorce yourselves while you're still married in your very own hearts. You know, a bad relationship, okay, a bad marriage, a bad relationship cannot exist unless it is fed and nourished the wrong way. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, he said this, every city or house, the family, divided, meaning at war with itself, cannot stand. I'll tell you something, we have an enemy. His name is the devil. He is the wicked one. He is the destroyer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he hates godly marriages. He hates them. Man, listen, he will do anything to divide what God hath joined together. He'll go to any extreme. That's why the true test of Christianity, loved one, is not the church sitting in the pew. The true test of Christianity and marriage is what's found in the home. Amen? And so that's so important. And many Christian marriages today, unfortunately, they're suffering, they're in trouble, maybe they're even falling apart. And the number one reason for that, I told you last Wednesday, I said the number one reason for that is today is communication. But that's not really correct. It is correct, of course, but I'm going to add to that. You see, the number one reason today for Christians to divorce is not really communication, finances, adultery, or lack of intimacy. It is the result of one thing and one thing only, and it is this: whose marriage plan are you following? There's only one. There's only one marriage plan. Did you know that? And it's found right here in the Word of God. You know, Solomon, you know, who penned Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and so forth, he also penned two Psalms, Psalm 127 and Psalm 72, I believe. Now, he knew something about marriage, wouldn't you say? I mean, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. The man was out of his mind. You know what I mean? But listen to what Solomon wrote in Psalm 127:1. He said this, unless the Lord builds the house, they, meaning the husband, the wife, they labor in vain who build it. You know, when a person marries, before they marry, I've counseled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples. And they always tell me, I say, tell me what your marriage is going to be like. And the videotape starts rolling, you know. And I'm going, where did you get that at? And they said, oh, I just made that. I love it. And I said, well, is that in the Word of God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, you know, if God is not building your home, if God is not building your marriage, then someone else is. Someone else is leading it. Someone else is guiding it. Someone else is planning it. It means that someone, the couple that is married, they have now created and defined their very own plan for marriage. And it might be totally opposite of what God the Father and the Word of God says. Amen? And that's why there's so much trouble. Every couple should ask this before they get married and in their marriage. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of my marriage? That's the greatest thing you can do, loved one. Like Jesus said, remember what he said in Luke 6:46? He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do?" Now, so as we look at marriage 101 tonight, let's begin right there in verse 18 of chapter 5. Where it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is an excess," wherein is excess, "but be," what? "Filled with the Spirit." In other words, be controlled by the Spirit. You know, if a person has, four or five bottles of Mogan David wine, are they, would you call intoxicated? This side won't answer. Let me go to the honest side. Would they be wiped out? Yes. Okay. So in other words, they would be under the control or the influence of something else other than the Holy Spirit. Let's put it that way. He says here, the Word of God says, for you to be divinely intoxicated, if you will, filled, flooded, overcome, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. I preached a sermon a couple of years ago, and I said the number one sin in the church that the Christians commit, and it's Ephesians 5:18. It, because it says, be ye, in the Greek, it would be be ye, being filled with the Spirit. And it's an imperative, meaning it's not an option. This is a commandment. Every day we should say, Lord, refill me with your Spirit. Amen? Every day, Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit and so forth. Because if I do, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just that simple. Okay? Now, with all that being said, when God makes two people, male, female, one, the miracle, as we learned last Sunday or Wednesday, the miracle of the marriage covenant, man, listen, when God does that, he wants you to both be controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. In other words, a Holy Spirit-led marriage. It says in Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. That's neuter, which means sons and daughters of God, okay? So a Spirit-filled wife and a Spirit-filled husband that are filled with the Spirit, they love the Lord, should they not manifest what it says in verse 21? Look at it again. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, or literally the fear of Christ. Now listen, husband, let me ask you a question. Unless Jesus is the Lord of your marriage, how in the world are you really going to lead your wife God's way? And wife, listen, if Jesus is really the Lord of your marriage, you know, the fact is that you can't follow your husband. Do you understand? You can't do it. Because you're not doing it God's way. Look at the word there in verse 21. Submitting to one another, husband, wife, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now listen very carefully. If you've ever been through counseling with me, premarital counseling, you know what I'm about to say. I'm going to tell you, if you do not live and breathe and believe with all of your heart, verse 21, Don't even dream about going into verse 22 and all the way down the list. It's not going to work. You might as well just say, no, it's not going to work. And the reason is because this is marriage 101. If you don't do marriage 101, you will never get to verse 22. Does that make sense? Or 23, 24, 25, it will never, ever, ever work. It says submitting to one another in that one word. That one word, you have the divine plan for victory in your marriage. It doesn't mean it's going to be trouble-free. It doesn't mean that problems are not going to occur. But it means when you submit one to another, male, female, husband, wife, one to another, boy, something happens. That word submit is a good word. The Bible says in James 4:7, it says, therefore submit to God. Bring your will in line with God's will. Yield to his power, his strength, his will in your life. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I tell every couple, I said, I can tell you where your battles are right now in your marriage. And they said, well, how are you going to do that? And I'll tell them, it's the area that you absolutely refuse to submit to the will of God. You hear me? when you refuse, you know, I'm mad at my husband. Okay, well, we all get mad, don't we? We'll get glad. You know, listen, no, you, man, listen, the area of your life, husband, wife, that you refuse in your marriage to submit to the Lord, that's the area of your defeat. That's the area that's going, everything's going to fall apart. That's why, again, look at that word, submitting to one another, husband and wife. That word has been so abused. I mean, it's just, it's heartbreaking to know that word, you know. Oh, you know what? I did a wedding, many weddings, but I was doing a wedding about, I don't know how many years ago, but it was an outside wedding. I had counseled with the couple. They'd gone through all the classes and so forth, but when I was, and they agreed to the vows, and so when I got to that line that says, and wives, submit unto your husbands, and, you know, for her to repeat after me, she just looked at me. And I said, you know, and I'm going, there's a whole people there, and I'm going, you know, call her by name, and do you submit to your, said, I'm never going to submit to him, and I will not have that word in my vows. And I said, well, what word do you want me to put there? Listen, I thought she was going to commit me to the grave. That's why, you know what I'm saying? But people get all upset over that word. They dread that word. You know, when this is so vital, a husband, wife, listen to me. The word submit there, it is about relinquishing one's right to another, okay? But don't confuse this, okay? This is voluntary submission, very important, free will, voluntary. It's not a command. It's voluntary submission, but it is to the submitting to the proper authority. That's what we need to see. You know, the major emphasis in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, all the way through chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 9, the major emphasis is not, believe it or not, husbands. It's not about the submission of the wife. That's not what it's about at all. It's about those who are in authority and how God-given authority operates. See, we are all called upon to submit one to another. Did you know that? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, Kevin is an elder, and if you're younger, submit yourself to him. You see what I'm getting at? You have no humor tonight. All right. It says, yes, now listen, and yes, all of you, everyone in the church, be submissive one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Now listen to me. I want you to say this with me. Submit is not a bad word. You ready? Submit is not a bad word. Male chauvinists have made it a bad word. Men have made it a bad word. Women have made it a bad word. Pastors, have really made it a bad word. Do you understand? The church and so forth. It is not a bad word. Now listen to me. Don't ever forget what I'm about to say. The word submit was not planned, nor was it devised in the thinking and the thinking processes or the heart of man. Do you understand? That word did not come from a man, a husband. It did not come from a wife. It didn't, a female. It came from Almighty God. Do you understand? It is a beautiful word that was sent from heaven. It is in the Word of God. It is holy. Do you understand? So when we read there in verse 21 and 22, let's just go ahead and look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's that word again. Now listen, the wife's submission, because we're talking about women right now, okay, is voluntary. In other words, guys, husbands, it is never forced. It is never demanded. And I say this with every counseling session I do, and any time I teach through the Bible about marriage. Whenever the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. That sacrificial love that would lay down your life for your wife. Amen? A husband, a Christian husband, if he doesn't walk in love, obeying that scripture, because that is a command, not an option, we'll talk about that next Wednesday night, then I believe personally with all my heart that that man has then lost his right to, if you use this word, rule his home. Because, see, he is already in disobeying the word of God, isn't he? That's very important. Love is man's rule, the husband's rule, the love that God has placed in us. That's very, very important. So when we look at this voluntary submission of the wife, again, it's not forced, it's not demanded by the husband, but the wife does so. Why? Because she loves the Lord. She wants to be obedient to the word of God. It's not that she's being obedient to her husband. She's being obedient to the one who saved her and died for her. Does that make sense? So that's very important that we see that. Now, I'm going to say something. It doesn't matter if you get upset, because if you do, take it out on Paul or somebody. You know, he's taller than I am, and he's a very dangerous person. If you have any other theology than what I just said from God's word about Christian marriage, if it is contrary to the word of God, then husband, Christian wife, you need to change your theology, because you're wrong. Only God, no one else, not man, not female, no one, only God has the right to place the man, or the husband and the wife, in the God-given roles he has designed. No one else can do that. Only God can do that. And only the Creator has the right to shape your marriage and define your marriage according to his word, because he created it. He is the Creator. Amen? Very important that we see that. So this mutual submission, the mutual submission of the husband, in other words, submitting yourselves together, one to another, very, very important. Again, if you don't practice, put into play verse 21, then the rest of the verses are just simply meaningless. You see, if the wife is not submitted to God, and if the husband is not submitted to God and his word, how can you submit to anything? I mean, how can you even submit to next Wednesday the God-given roles that he's placed you in? Do you know what? If you're not submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord, husband and wife, how in the world can you walk in any kind of agreement? In other words, how about, I raise my children this way. Well, okay, that's good that you're doing that, but where'd you get that from? Well, by golly, my grandmother taught me, and you know, she was a holy woman. That's good. But if contradicts God's word, it's not good. I'm not saying that the human wisdom, that a lot of it is wonderful. Do you understand? But I'm saying that God has the right to be number one in your decision-making, whether it's raising your children, your marriage, whatever. Matter of fact, anything in your life. He's our Lord, amen? So if you don't do that, how are you going to, you'll never agree on, well, is church important? And obviously, it's not important to a lot of people today, you know, and so forth. And it, I mean, you're supposed to be serving the Lord, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, but if you don't know the word of God, how can you two walk in agreement if you're not submitted to God? Does that make sense? About having a prayer room in your home where you pray together, you pray for your children, you pray over your wife, or you both pray together. You know, how can you agree to that if you are not submitted to the Lord? See, you won't be in agreement about any of those things. And you'll never come into agreement until the husband and the wife both know the word of God and apply the word of God to their lives. It's mutual submission, one to another. Now listen, whenever a husband and a wife, either one of them, or maybe even both of them, when they demand their own way, what happens is that you start building your marriage on human wisdom, human strength, human knowledge, and all of those things, not on divine wisdom. In other words, if it is my will and not thy will, okay? I'm telling you right now, listen carefully. If it's Bill's will, Becky, I love you, but I'm telling you, this is the way I do things. If it's Bill's will and not thy will be done, Jesus Christ is not the Lord of Bill's marriage. Do you understand? For him to be the Lord, the ruler, the master over my marriage, I have to bow the knee and I say, Father, whatever you say, that I want to do by your grace, through your strength, and by the power of your word. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's how you have a marriage starts growing and is better and better. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan has a heyday in the church today. You know why? Because he loves to see Christians who have God's word go to church, and yet they build their marriages on sand instead of building it on the rock. They raise their children on sand instead of raising him or her, pardon me, on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you know what Satan does? Pardon me. You know what he does? He waits a little bit. He likes you to be established. He's thinking you're doing great. He'll wait a couple of years into your marriage. And then he says, oh, they are ready for the winds to start blowing and the storms to coming and all the problems of life. And they're going to fall. And the reason is they built their marriage. I'm so sorry. That's allergies. You know what I'm saying? That's what I love about this time of year. It's so beautiful, and you sit outside with a mask on, you know. So all of a sudden, all the floods come and all the things that happen, and you get in trouble. Listen, victory in marriage is found as both husband and the wife, they submit to the divine order that God has established. Let me read a scripture from 1 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says about marriage, he says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Wouldn't that be a blessing if that were true? Man. And it says, and the head, or literally the word head there means source, and it can mean origin. Okay? The head of the woman is man. Now, we're speaking now about marriage. But you see, there was only one woman that ever came from man. That was Eve. No one else, okay? And it says, and the head of Christ is God. Did you see the divine order there? The head of Christ is God. Even Jesus, you know, the Son is in a divine order, if you will. That's God's divine chain of command. So the victory is that get in order. You want victory? Do what God says in his word. And listen to me now. That scripture that I just read, it doesn't mean that God favors men over women. It has nothing to do. Listen, women and men, husband, wife, you're equal before God. You're both made in the image of God. Amen? That's right. So listen, he doesn't favor men over women. Has nothing to do with personal worth or abilities or any of those things. Verse 23 of Ephesians 5 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Now listen carefully, guys. Headship never means domination. Never means to be a dictator or a bully. You know, husbands are not gods. You know what I'm saying? Dear Lord. No, listen. Ladies, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, do you, the divine role of the man, did man ask for that? No. I'm going, Lord, is that a mistranslation? You know, why do you want to put that burden on me for? She's smarter than I am. Do you understand? God says, you are in the role I assigned you to be in. Now, that's the role you're going to stay in, whether you like it or not. Now, if you don't, if you abdicate from that role, then all of a sudden you're going to put all the pressure on your wife, and I didn't create her to be burdened with your role, where she has to do everything and you don't do anything. Are you with me? Very, very important, loved one. No, listen, headship never means domination. Again, whenever we think about the headship here, we would never question, it says Christ is the head of the church. Would anyone ever question that? Okay, then we can't question the rest of what God just said right there. However, men, I want you to listen up now. In counseling, over from the first pastor to this one, you know, 30-some-odd years now, do you know what? The number one complaint about a husband from a woman, the wife, has never changed. In all of those years, over 35 years now in the pulpit, has never changed. And you know what the number one complaint when they come to the office and they say, Bill, we have a problem. The number one complaint from the wife is this. My husband will not take the leadership of the spiritual authority of the home. Isn't that a sad thing? In other words, have you ever noticed that why is it that the wives, they make sure their kids are always in church? and they sit out there by themselves? Have you seen that? I've seen it. Come on. And the guy, well, I can't miss the Cowboys. Well, why? They're going to lose. You know? You understand? I can't miss that. I mean, the basketball game, you know, or whatever. Or, you know, I'm into this video game and I've got so many numbers right. I'm nearly at the top. I'm going to. Thank you. That was as good as an amen. Yeah. No, you understand? I'm not beating you guys up if you play video games. I mean, I don't play them. I don't even know how to do that. I did the real thing. Never mind. Now, here's the thing. It just seems to me that the majority, and I'm not being playing favorite here with men and women. It just seems like the women, I wish I'd have had a mother and a father that took me to church. Because I never had that. Never. 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 God wasn't even mentioned in our home unless it was a cuss word. I look back and I think, oh God, if I had just been brought up with godly parents that taught me to pray, that brought me to church, and I think of, I guess, I'm assuming, that all of the hell that I went through in my life, I would have never gone through. I'd have had a completely different view about living in life. Listen, while you have the opportunity, godly husband, godly wife, you both need to be in agreement, and both of you need to be one parent, not two parents. That's what your children need, one parent. In other words, what daddy says, mama's going to say, right? In other words, you know how children are, well, I'll go ask mama. Well, I'll just go ask daddy. You see, but if you both aren't in agreement, the kid's going to get two different answers, and that's not healthy, loved one, at all. Listen, husbands, you're not superior to your wife, and wives, you're not superior to your husbands. The authority that you have as a husband and wife, listen carefully, is not from you. It is a delegated authority from God and His Word to be given to you to fulfill His purposes in your life. Now listen, if you're not in divine order, you are already in trouble. And this is very important. Mutual submission, not the wife's will, not the husband's will, but thy will be done. Amen? Where you're mutually submitted one to another, and here's how you do it, in the fear of God. There it is. In other words, the reverence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how it is done. You know, do you know, you know it and I know it, that one day, 2 Corinthians 5:10, I think it is that we are all going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, at the Bema seat of Christ, amen? The place of rewards. But we're going to give an account of the way we raised our children. We're going to get, if you have children, if you're married, you will get, that's a stewardship. That God says, that's my daughter, you're my son, you are one, I made you one, I made covenant with you, and I'm the Lord of your marriage, and if I'm not, then you're giving an account to me in your life. At the end of your life, that's what's going to happen. We're all going to be accountable to the Lord. Now, so Jesus needs to be the Lord of our marriage, and we do that in the fear of God. Listen to Psalm 31:19. It says, oh, how great is your goodness which you've laid up for those who fear you. It says in Job said in 28:28, he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. True wisdom begins in our marriages when we say, you know what? God said it. That settles it. I fear the Lord. I reverence the Lord. I respect the Lord. I honor him. Does that make sense? Okay. Listen, wisdom, the wisdom in these pages of the Bible, wisdom is God's knowledge applied. Does that make sense? That's how you make it. In other words, you're not just a hearer of God's word, you are a doer of God's word. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning, that's the very starting point in your marriage, the fear of the Lord. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Job 28:12, he says, where can wisdom be found and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value. Boy, that's so true. Listen to what he says, talking about wisdom, the fear of God and all that. He says, it's not found in the land of the living. Loved one, there's only two places that we can have wisdom to build our lives, to build our singleness, to build our married lives, whatever. Only two places. Either you're going to build it according to God's word, or you're going to build it upon the world's knowledge. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, it says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It's foolishness to God. You know, listen, the wisdom of the world, does it change? It changes constantly. Matter of fact, I have never seen a president change his mind so many times. Man, how many more people can he get rid of? Never mind, I don't want to go there. It's not a place or time for it. But the wisdom of the world changes constantly, but God's wisdom never changes. See, you can do what God says because he's commanded us to do those things. He gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the power to do it, and he gives you the grace to do it. Listen, I'll tell you something. One more scripture here. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you have not started your marriage right there, you have not started a godly marriage. You know, look in your Bibles and look at chapter 6 with me, and just, I'm going to go quickly through this, but watch this about submitting unto the Lord. Everything we do is unto the Lord. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents how? In the Lord. You're submitting unto the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up to training, admonition of the Lord. Verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, fear, trembling, sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants, here it is, of Christ again, doing the will of God from the heart. It says, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. There's the God again. Whether he's slave or free, and masters do the same things, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master, your own owner, also is in heaven. Now listen, submit, again, is not a bad word. If you have not submitted your marriage, not your will, wife, your will, husband, but thy will be done, Lord. Whatever your word says, if it says it, then we're in agreement because we love the Lord. Amen? If Jesus is not the Lord of your marriage, and I'm not beating you up, I love you, but if he's not the Lord of your marriage and you've not submitted to each other the way the word of God says, listen to what it means. It means that you do not fear the Lord. It says, submitting yourselves one to another, how? In the fear of the Lord. Man, you belong to him. I belong to him. It's not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. You said it. I don't know how marriage should be. I mean, so many husbands, guys, listen, we get married. Ephesians 5:25 is a command. Husbands, love your wives. Well, I already love her, Lord. Why would I marry this woman if I didn't love her? We're going to talk about that next Wednesday night. God says, you know what? I'm commanding you, husband, to love her because you're not going to love her the right way, and you're going to love her your way, and she needs more than just your way. Do you understand? See, God has all the answers to everything that we need. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. I love it. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Man's all, fearing the Lord. Listen, the Bible is your manual. If you will renew your mind to God's truth, man, you'll be set free. You know, wrong information will lead you to make wrong decisions, and wrong decisions will always give you wrong results. You know, if you will just practice mutual submission, starting right now, if you're not doing so, talking it out, man, finding what's going on in your lives, It's so important. Now listen to me carefully. If you didn't get anything I said, this is very important, what I'm about to tell you right now. Don't be deceived. You know, if your marriage right now is under attack, if your marriage is hurting, falling apart, or maybe you're even in your, maybe you haven't said the word divorce, but you're thinking the word divorce. You know, I want you to listen to me. Do you know why that's happening? Wherever the devil sees potential in the life of the believer, husband and wife, the marriage, he immediately comes. See, the potential that you have, I'm going to raise godly children. I'm going to teach them to pray. I'm going to teach them the Word of God. I'm going to teach them how much God loves them and so forth. Listen, do you see the potential in that? Do you see how a godly marriage and raising godly children, that is a tremendous witness to the world? You know, the attack of the family. You step out and start serving God. I was just talking to Rob about this. You step out, I'm telling you what, he will lift up a standard against you, but he is a liar. If Satan is talking, he is lying. You understand? He is a liar. He cannot tell you the truth. You've already overcome him. You've already won. Amen? But you won't know that. You won't walk in it unless you know the Word of God. You are a threat, man. Your marriage is a threat to the devil. He wants to destroy the family. That's why the family's being destroyed today. If the foundations be destroyed, meaning marriage, okay, the oldest institution on earth that God created, if it be destroyed, what can the righteous do, the Bible says? Well, we live in a world where it's falling apart. But when you stand and say, you know what, I have an instruction manual, and I'm going to do what God said. You know, listen, believers who divorce, they don't divorce because of the size of their problem. They divorce primarily because of the size of their commitment. Do you understand? Now, listen very carefully now. It takes two to be committed. I mean, I see it all the time. The wife is committed, but the husband's not committed. Or the husband is committed, and the wife is not committed. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, one can't do it. It takes two. Do you understand? How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Say, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my marriage. If you're verbally abusing your wife, you are in sin. You are in trouble. If you're putting down your wife, you're putting down yourself. Wife, if you are castigating and criticizing and nagging your husband, you are in sin. You hear me? I love you. I'm not beating on you. I love you. But God says, don't treat my son, like I said last Wednesday night, or my daughter that way. You don't do that. You love one another. Don't beat up your own body. You beat up your wife, you're beating up yourself, you beat up your husband, vice versa. You're just hurting yourself. We should speak good things to each other while there's time. While there's time. You don't want to get to the end of your life and be miserable. You sit in the same room, but you don't even talk, you don't hold hands, you don't kiss. Ooh-ah. I want to share something with you, and then we're going to close in prayer. I'm not a person that's given to dreams, but I had a dream last night. It's so real, it's unbelievable. And I woke up, and I said, wow, what a dream. I went back to sleep and started dreaming it all over again. Have you ever done that? I've never done that. And I'm going, wow. So, you know, I get up and I go into my prayer time, you know, and after the dream and all that. It was early this morning, and I was right here at the church. Matter of fact, I was standing right there. And I recognized all the people that were here. But that whole week, for some reason, and I don't remember exactly why, but I had to replace a door. And so somebody would come and they would, I don't know if they ran through it and they tore it up. Anyway, I'm going, what is the deal with the doors at Calvary Chapel? You understand? So the door's all destroyed. I have to go buy a new door, and I put it up, and then I come back. It's already destroyed. I replace one after another after another. I had to replace seven doors, the same door that just kept being damaged. Now, when I went into my prayer time, and I was praying this morning, that dream came back up into my mind, and I was praying. I said, well, you know, seven is God's perfect number. And door in the Bible, what does it speak of? Somebody tell me. Come on. You're well-taught, church. Tell me. What? What is it? A door in the Bible speaks of an opportunity. Remember? That's what it means. A door is an, you know, God has opened up for me, Paul said, a door. A door always speaks of an opportunity. And so as I was going through all that, I was standing over there in my dream, and all of a sudden I shouted out, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. And when I did, I said it to you guys. God said, he wants to be proved. He wants to be proved right this minute. And then I cried out, I said, open the doors of this church. That those doors were open. These doors were open. Those doors, and then the outside doors were open, and so forth. And when I did that, when I said for that, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit flooded this chapel. And every person here, from the youngest to the oldest, started praying in the Spirit. And in my heart, it was like the Lord said to me, he said, seven is my perfect number, and a door is an opportunity. And God said in my heart, I have opened a door, a perfect door of opportunity for this church. I don't have a clue what that means. But you know something, loved one? I believe it with all of my heart. Do you understand? Now, I'm not saying, I'm not one of those dreamer guys and all of that. I'm not being, but I'm telling you, it's the Lord was speaking to me about something. I believe that God wants to do something so incredible in this place while there's time. The door is open, but not only that, God says, I've opened the windows of heaven upon this church in 2018. Remember that. The pouring out a blessing on you that cannot be contained. I mean, filling us up. God says, all you have to do is prove me now. In other words, trust my faithfulness, what I'll do for you. You do that in your marriage. Say, Lord, I'm proving you now. You said if I'll do this and this. And God said, oh, you wait what I'm going to do for you. I love to work with married people because I made them. I know what makes her tick and I know what makes you tick. I know everything about both of you. Now get into the word, get into prayer, start walking in unity, start walking in love one with another, and you see what I will do. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Not only have you opened the windows of heaven upon this church called Calvary Chapel, Lord, I believe you have opened a door of some kind of perfect opportunity for us. And Lord, I pray that you would just usher in the Spirit of God even now. Oh Lord, that you would fill us to overflowing all over again. That this place would become a tangible expression of the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Lord God, let there be the mighty rushing wind and all the rest of it, the cloven tongues of fire. Lord, fill us. Fill this place. Oh God, baptize every marriage. Baptize every husband and every wife. Lord, whatever the enemy's doing to make a division occur, we displace it by your love and grace and power and goodness. Oh God, the creator of it all, destroy those things that are trying to destroy your sheep in their marriages. Oh Lord God, let all cease the activity of the wicked one. Let there be a newness in their marriage, a newness in their walk, and a newness in their talk one to another. Let manipulation and backbiting, nagging, be under their feet. And may they walk in the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. And what God hath joined together in this church, let no man put asunder. Every house that is divided, the wall of division has ceased. And only unity can reside there now. Bless your people, Lord. touch them. We love you. We praise you. Let this church walk through that perfect door, Lord. Give us the wisdom to see the opportunity that you have put in front of us. We love you now. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. Be the Lord of all of our marriages. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Isn't God good?